If you're a fan of the Classic Metal Show and you've progressed past a flip phone, then you better have the CMS app on your phone. Get it today. It's in both the Google and iOS app stores. It's the CMS app. Get it? It's got everything you would possibly want from the CMS. So get it today and stay connected to the CMS. Hey, everybody, it is Chris Aiken from the Classic Metal Show. And before we get to this next episode, just wanted to remind you one more time, go over and visit the CMS Podcast Network. CMSPN.com is the web address. You get four great shows on one great site. You get us, of course. You get Aftershocks. You get Talk To Me. And you get the Shockwave Skull Sessions with Bob Now Bandian. Make sure you get over there. You can watch the episodes. You can listen to the episodes. You can subscribe so it's delivered to your phone and you never have to touch it again. So again, get over there, CMSPN.com, CMSPN.com. And if you didn't hear me the first two times, CMSPN.com. All right, here's the episode you actually came to see. It is your Classic Metal Show right here on the classicmetalshow.com. That, of course, was Fear Factory with Acres of Skin. That's what Tom Hazard had tattooed that one time. Acres of Skin. That, of course, from Digimortal. And, you know, we're winding down 2020. And the big thing coming up this week is not New Year's. Everybody thinks that the big thing is New Year's. It's not New Year's. Of course, it's the KISS 2020 goodbye concert this week.
Oh, boy.
People have spent their $10,000 and have gotten to Dubai for their special opportunity to watch KISS on TV or whatever the fuck they're doing. And
spent that apart from Tim James?
Yeah, well, I would bet more than less. You know, I actually think that they probably did okay with that, considering that people have been locked up and there's just nothing to do for New Year's. I would bet the KISS probably did okay. But this is a big week for KISS. I don't know if you guys heard this, but aside from the big 2020 concert, and Drew, you could step in on this as a guy that works with David Ellefson. Maybe there's a partnership in that you could work your way into. KISS has announced the new KISS Coffee.
How you brewing people?
It's cold latte. Cold latte.
Interesting.
Not surprising, though.
That not at all.
What surprise?
You would have think they would have done years ago.
Yeah.
Supposedly, especially with Gene Simmons being Mr. Sober Guy.
Yeah. You know. Well, he sells pot.
He sells pot. He's got all the rock and brews. He's got everything alcohol related and drug related.
KISS crack.
Monica caffeine.
KISS crack. It says, according to the article, it says KISS is teamed up with Dead Sled Coffee. First of all, I'm not drinking coffee from Dead Sled Coffee. Dead Sled.
Too appealing.
Yeah, that sounds like something James would sell when you buy a DVD.
Comes with a dead sled. What is that? You find out when you get it. If you got to ask what it is, you can't afford it.
Though. I mean, seriously, if you're going to get on the coffee trend, that was happening. You know, I mean, how long has David been doing it?
Five, six years.
That have their own coffee.
Yeah. You
know? Mm-hmm. I mean, tons of bands have been doing it. I mean, you would think they would have got on it way too early. I got to give a shout out, though, to Tim James, who did call and wanted to say hey to you, John Drake, and saying how much of a big fan he is. So I told James I would, or Tim James, that I would pass along that message. So, God, this has almost gone quick. I didn't think I'd nearly last for 6 hours. We got only like a little over an hour left, right?
Yeah,
hour, that quick.
There we go. 15 minutes.
Anyway, I got my say out of the way. So go ahead.
Talk
about this KISS coffee.
No, it's fine. I'm a little surprised that KISS is a little late like you, but they have their coffee. Dead Sled Coffee strives to create a culture of acceptance and respect.
Is that culture with a K?
Yeah, it should be. because that would be cooler and Kiss-like. But
cool with a K.
This is the part that kills me. Dead Sled Coffee strives to create a culture of acceptance and respect no matter what your level of coffee knowledge is. Is this really social justice coffee?
Social justice coffee. Oh, geez.
Is that not Paul how it reads?
Well, Paul Stanley is a social justice warrior these days, so.
People, pour your coffee through your mask, people. Pour it through the mask. Use it like a filter.
Don't make me pull my love gun.
You can drink from my love gun.
But you're right, though. Anything Kiss will do, there's enough dumb fans out there that will get by anything Kiss-related.
I'm sure there's a set amount of people that's just already like...
And can you blame them? Can you blame them? I mean, they know that they've got a built-in audience of fucking dummies, which really they are. They're just basically sheep that'll buy anything that Kiss puts their goddamn logo on.
Right. And
they're like, hey, fuck, let's do this. We can, you know, sell this. So why not? Hey.
See, this is a rare time. The one thing I will say about Kiss is always really good about doing everything super high end. Even if it's stupid, like a Kiss coffin or whatever, it's still a high end.
I've heard that, equipment. Yeah.
I mean, everything, even their 900, you know, greatest hits records or whatever. The artwork's always real, really nice. The printing on the disc is always really nice. When they did the release the concert that you just saw thing, whatever that's called, you know, when you could see a show and then you'd get your, recording of it right after.
How was your piss?
That was
sorry about that.
That was always really high end too. The thing I'm surprised with this is A, that Kiss is working with a secondary company to do anything. That doesn't seem normal. And how does Gene Simmons not release the Kiss coffee with the Kiss coffee maker?
Oh, good point.
Where's the Starman, or maybe that's a blend? Starman Supreme or, you know, Demon Double Roast or something? Demon Dark Roast or something?
Separate sale, man.
You should be their marketing agent, dude.
I should.
Dude, they'll never do a package release. They're going to sell it individually so they make the most possible money ever.
Yeah. Well, that could very well be true.
But you can sell each one individually like David does, right? With the roast and peas. He's got about four or five different coffee blends.
Yeah, it's like a Skid Row blend, a Twisted Sister blend, I think.
And they're really fucking good, too.
Roast and peas is amazing. Yeah, it's I got a bag like right over here.
I've got to order some more.
Roast and peas. First of all, and I have a bone to pick with David, which you can send back to him, Drew, directly from me.
Absolutely.
Where's the fucking coffee on Amazon?
Oh yeah, he's getting it set up now. Like it's in the process.
That was Hazard's responsibility to get that set up.
Not good enough because I had to go and buy another $60 worth of fucking Bone Coffee Company coffee because I went to Amazon and it wasn't there.
John pretty much nailed it right there, actually.
So what you're saying is I wasn't wrong without saying it on the air.
This is a strange thing. I'm the only one drinking on this. I thought I would be on this episode being the only sober fucker. Look at Chris is drinking water. I thought you guys would just be a bunch of drunk fucks here. There you go. At least Drew's drinking.
I'll drink.
Did you not see me just chugging down that Corona bottle?
I did. Yeah, that was a while ago. I was on the last segment.
I have multiple Coronas.
Oh, there you are. All right, I didn't even see that. All right.
All right. Look.
I had a singular Busch Light.
All right. Well.
I'm so paranoid about the fucking equipment.
I'll knock back a little Rumpelmans. Why not?
You know, go ahead and hit it. But no, the Kiss thing, it surprised me when I didn't see a coffee maker. I would have thought for sure we would have had the, Tommy Thayer thin-strained coffee or some shit.
Coffee makers would be a little bit harder to, because everyone uses, now it's all like the Keurig and all the individual easy, brew coffee. So they would have to come up with something
The Kiss rig.
Really clever. I mean, right? Again, anything with Kiss will sell, but yeah. You know, for the coffee maker, how much would that go for? $100 or something?
But you just mentioned the Keurig, Bob. I mean, that's a perfect opportunity, because if you think about it, like the way they market the Kiss logos is like four circles with the, you know, the face paint in it. That's the perfect thing to put on top of a K-cup. So you could have like...
I wonder if Keurig has a trademark on that, though, because you don't see any other company that does those K-cups, right? It's all Keurig.
No, there's a ton of
Starbucks does them. Starbucks does them.
Yeah, but it's all for the Keurig machine, is what I'm saying. I mean, there's a bunch of coffee companies that do them, but as far as the machine, there's only one Keurig that has, I think, unless there's others that do actually.
No, that makes sense. I haven't seen anything other than a Keurig. That's a good point.
I mean, there's different types of Keurigs that have different size cups and whatnot, but they're all Keurig.
I find single cup coffee making for fucking pussies. You're either drinking 12 cups or you're not drinking any.
Also, Tommy Thayer's blend is going to be decaf, obviously.
Yeah, of course it will be. Decaf, it comes with a sparkler in it. Sparkler to stir it up.
It shoots UFOs out of the sky.
It almost tastes like that coffee you used to like.
Exactly. I'll settle for the Ace Space Coffee.
There you go.
Space Ace Coffee. There you go. The Space. You know, there'll be a Space Ace blend, a Catman blend. It'll be Catman Coffee, Space Ace something.
You think they'll do that with those guys? But that'll be with Thayer, and obviously, I mean, they're not gonna drag Ace and Peter into it.
Well, but they'll do like they do with Thayer and Peter Criss now, or Thayer
Eric Singer.
And Eric Singer now.
Yeah.
They'll just call it Catman and then call it.
Yeah, they own the makeup.
Yeah.
They'll just Spaceman it, and they won't say Space Ace. They'll say a Spaceman blend, and they'll say Catman. Cat Coffee or whatever. You know, that's what they're going to do.
So. I don't know. I think they'll probably just do the Kiss blend for a while, see how that goes. And if it goes well, then they might branch out to do the subsidiary blends.
What would Vinnie Vincent's taste like?
The coffee for them. Yeah, taking off like
failure.
Empty bag. Vinnie Vincent blend.
Yeah. You buy the Vinnie Vincent coffee. It comes in it's an empty bag.
It's an IOU.
The problem with the Vinnie
Vincent. And it costs $400 a bag.
Right. It takes 20 years to get it.
It comes autographed.
You order it, it never comes, and then you get a guarantee of two bags of it later.
That's right.
What a fucking turd that guy is.
Jesus. Oh, my Lord.
Or whatever we're supposed to call him now.
Okay, at this point, who's the bigger turd? Like Vinnie Vincent or the people that every time he announces something, they actually pay for that?
Enablers.
People.
At some point, like, how much of a beating can you possibly take?
I mean, everybody's got to know about Vinnie Vincent by now. Everyone that ordered anything from him has got to have been fucked over at least 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
But they still are going to order more from him.
Yep. And especially now, his fans, the guy's only like famous basically through the internet. It's like the most underground fans. And those are the types of fans that look their heroes up on the internet and they do the deep digging. And so these people read all of this and yet still will spend the money on this guy.
Yeah, and he was only in Kiss for what, like a year and a half, 2 years or something like that?
Yeah.
Not long. The funny thing is we have a fan on the show, Chris Wicks. He's from this area. And he ordered the box set, of course.
Ooh.
And he's still waiting to get it. And he literally sent me this email December 5th. I'm copied on it. It was an email that he sent to Vinnie Vincent. That says subject the great box set, and it says still sounds amazing after over 20+ years. Tapes held up nicely. Such an awesome collection from an honest musician that loves his fans dearly. Perfect integrity and stellar reputation, truly a rarity in this day and age. your friend, Chris Wicks. Just taking a mean, stiff shit on him.
Did he reply?
He didn't reply. He can't reply because the minute he replies, he'll get into legal trouble. No. You know, he can't even say, well, it's coming or anything, because then he opens himself up for legal shit. You know, he's just got to take that beating. Probably, go, you know, this guy's a fucking turd, though. He knows that he's a scumbag. Whatever. You know,
Benny Vincent.
Now, here's the real question. I mean, the Kiss Coffee is funny, and I could read the article, but I won't. Here's, we have this 2020 show, which is going to stink. Let's just be, I mean, it might be okay because they'll have backing tracks out the ass to where it sounds okay. But it's not going to be really live. Not as live as you want. So here's the question. What would you rather see at this point? John, I know I'm throwing this to you, but I'll throw it to all you guys. I'm not a Kiss fan, so I could give a shit.
People!
Stand up for what you believe in.
Now he sounds like, people! Sounds awful, but...
Six shooter of sex! Just meet me in the ladies' room!
It's horrible.
Love but, it.
Now, here's the question. Would you go, what would you rather see? Because this is clearly coming. Kiss in 2021, if the door opens up, you know, magically by June, and they can do their summer finale tour from June to September or whatever. Or Kiss in 2023 with the four new players.
Neither.
Oh, neither.
2021.
2021?
Yeah.
I'd rather see the 2023.
Yeah, well, I mean, dude, but that's okay. Now, okay, so here's the thing. This okay. Bob, like, and Drew, you guys weren't privy to this conversation. I mean, Bob, you might have heard this when Aiken and I were arguing about this on the show previously, but this gets into the whole, would you rather see the tribute band or would you rather see the actual band? And basically what you would be seeing in 2023 is just a tribute band. The difference is you'd be paying actual Kiss prices for not actual Kiss.
Right. Yes.
So you can't be serious.
I'm serious. Because Paul can't sing anymore. I'd rather see a competent singer than Paul Stanley.
Who's a competent
singer? But you're paying the same price.
Maybe, probably not.
Wait, you could go see Mr. Speed at a bar here in Cleveland with no cover and fucking literally, like, I mean, it's in a bar, but the music and the sound and the look and everything, they can't do the pyrotechnics and shit.
There you go.
But they've got the big old blown up lights and everything, the makeup, the boots. I mean, everything is exactly the same. And you'll just spend your bar tab, which, you know, well, wait, for you is basically the cost of a Kiss ticket. Like, but so, you know, you get that in a bar where you don't have to fight traffic. You don't have to like pay exorbitant prices for snacks and shit. You get bar price booze. And you're saying you would rather pay full on arena Kiss prices for that same thing you could see in a bar?
Here's what I'm saying. One, part of the Kiss experience, that's one of the reasons I hate Kiss tribute bands, is because part of the Kiss experience is all that pyro and is all the risers and the crazy stage and all that shit. That is as much a part of a Kiss Live show. That's much of the Kiss Live experience as the music, because to me, the music
is not
that good. Yeah. To me, the music's not all that good. I'm not a big fan of any of that 70s Kiss. I'm just, my favorite album is Asylum. I like Asylum. I like Revenge. I like Lick It Up. I like Creatures of the Night. You know, most of that is without makeup. You know, so I know I'm an atypical Kiss fan. I get that.
I like Unmasked. I'll put it out there. Well, I'm fucked up.
I can't even say that I know one's what's on Unmasked.
Naked City.
I don't know it.
Fuck. Great song. Two sides of the coin. To choose from.
Yeah, I'm not a big enough Kiss fan, but I saw their reunion back in what,
2000, whatever.
96, yeah. When they had
it. Was 95, 96.
Yeah. That was over 20 years ago. They were still young. Peter and Ace were still, they played good. It was a good show. They played at the Forum, full on show. That was it for me. I don't want to see a bunch of old men now and pay those exorbitant prices, whether it's the original guys or with Thayer or Singer. To me, I mean, and again, I'm not that big of a Kiss fan. I'm not a Kiss fanatic. But even if it was a band that was so, you know, when they're at that age, it's like, dude, I saw them at their prime. I don't want my last memory to be shit. Mm-hmm. You know? That's the thing. Bands got to know when to hang it up.
Yeah.
And I think Kiss is the perfect example, you know, with Paul Stanley's voice. And it's like, dude, everyone knows he's got the backing tracks on a lot of the, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, if he does a one-off show in Dubai, maybe he won't, or maybe he won't have as much. But, you know, I still think he will. Yeah. But regardless, it's not going to be Kiss 20 years, even 20 years ago. I mean, that was a long time ago. I mean, 96 was more than 20 years.
25,
ago. Yeah. I mean, you're talking a whole half century ago, and they were old back then. Yeah. You know, that was a reunion back then, and people thought, oh, they're too old. They're not. It's like, dude, I don't need. I mean, if you're a Kiss fanatic, you want to see them in nostalgia, or you never seen them before, you want to take your kid or whatever, that's fine. But for me personally, I could give a fuck.
Yeah. Anyway, well, I
agree with you, Bob.
Here's where I think that the four new guys is going to work, because Kiss,
fuck that.
Kiss has done a decent enough job of surviving losing half the band for a long time. People still pack their, they've never, since they put in the replacement players, they've never had to scale back the show. They had to scale back the show when they had the mat, when they had the makeup off, but from the reunion tour on, when they replaced Ace and Peter the second time or third time or whatever time it was, they have never had to scale back. So people are more in tune to
people are
you gotta say it right.
they're more in tune to see the show. And I think Kiss, like we were saying before, Kiss is not gonna put four fucking schlubs out there. They are gonna put, they do now. But they're not, when they replace those guys, they're going to put quality guys out there. And I think people, it'll be the same as the Dio hologram shit. It will sell with Kiss.
And at the same time, there's the Rolling Stones, just like, you know, they're in their, you know, mid to late 80s and they're still rocking and going by as a whole new Kiss is trying to get out there.
Don't you think that's different though? Like the Stones, like they're 80s, they're in their 80s and kicking ass, but that's them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and it's also like, I mean, if you start throwing other people in the Stones, they're like, well, who the fuck's that? Who the fuck's that? Who the fuck's that? And like,
right. Yeah, just the characters. Right.
Here's the Stones don't fucking fly from the front to the back of the stage.
But if they did,
but they don't.
But that was never the Stones thing. They were just a kind of a garage band that did their thing, and they would sell out fucking stadiums.
And that's why they do not understand why.
God, I can't stand doing it now.
They can keep doing it now because they don't have to do much.
Well, it's just a fact to see the Stones. I mean, that's what it is. It's just the name. It's the brand again.
I'm gonna go against what John's saying here, and you guys disagree or not. Whoever Gene Simmons decides to be in 2023, whether it's Gene Simmons or whether it's Bob Smith that is now the new Gene Simmons, whoever that is has to be able to walk in those fucking 50-pound costumes, has to be able to perform, has to be able to rise to the ceiling, play Love Gun from the roof, slot, you know, the Paul Stanley's gonna have to shoot to the back of the arena.
You can get a guy way younger than him in his 20s. That could do that no problem.
And that's what I'm and take half the money themselves.
True, but it goes past that though, because it's you think of Gene Simmons, it goes past the makeup, it's just the character of Gene Simmons himself, you know?
Yeah.
And that whole thing.
Yes. There is that personality that you can fake Gene Simmons, but you can't be Gene Simmons, you know what I mean?
He's a very powerful and attractive man.
The whole COVID thing, what we're talking about, the theaters with the COVID, I think it's going to apply to music. And that's why I think they're going to stall the music you know, people say, oh, it's going to come back in 2021 in the summer. I think they're going to stall it as long as they can. And technology is going to take over. And I don't know if you remember in Band vs. Brand, we interviewed a guy named Al Tiemann who worked on the hologram for the hologram theater in Hollywood.
Right.
And he says they're already working on holograms where now it's like this huge equipment that you have to have and everything pointed. But he said the next couple of years, they're going to have it where it could be miniaturized and you could have a hologram in your bedroom. And I think that's what the work, that's going to be the new norm, is to have stuff in your room, or like you say, with home theaters and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to kind of do that with concert. If you're talking about fake people anyway, mm-hmm. you know, you could have a hologram of Kiss in your fucking living room and watch a concert. And it wouldn't be unlikely that that could happen in the next year or two.
Instead of buying a CD, you'll just buy, you know, Kiss live in your bedroom.
What about a G.G. Allen hologram?
The poop will fly at you, and the poop will fly at you.
Your face. Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, Chris
is here.
Right. See, Chris, I think the one thing I have to say here is that you've admitted that you're not a Kiss fan. You're like, well, but the thing of it is like, it's the show, it's the explosions and the this. Yeah. And it's like, okay, but that you're saying that coming from someone who isn't a fan of the actual songs.
True.
So I think you're talking about looking at everything around the band, whereas I think a lot of people who actually do pay attention to the band will be like, well, why the hell am I paying, you know, I mean, you know, I told, you know, two years ago, whatever the hell it was, like, you know, my brother and I, we spent, I think, $120 a ticket to take my mom to see Kiss. You know, she's 76 years old. She, you know, loves rock shows and went to Rock Out. But even she was, you know, she would notice, like, okay, this sounds different. This isn't, you know, whereas you just go and go, yeah, everything's blowing up. Woohoo. Like, you know, it's a little bit different. Like, I mean, you're not coming from a fan standpoint, you know.
But again, I'm saying 2023, because Kiss is not going to be, they've already said they're retiring.
They said that. How many times they say that, though?
Yeah, well, but seriously.
They're 70-year-old billionaires.
Yeah, realistically, they're not going to be able to go on.
I mean, they're 70-year-old billionaires. It's time to go and fucking start your own fucking Epstein Island.
Can I just say that Bob is doing his very best Neely impression by eating while talking on the show? Like Neely covers it very well, but every once in a while you can tell
all of Toby's beer and stuff. I'm raiding his cabinets here, and he's got all the cauliflower snack chips, whatever that I mustered on. Damn, I'm hungry. I'm gonna raid his fucking cupboard too.
Is that your friend's place or an all expenses paid Airbnb you're at?
Well, kind of both now.
Toby's gonna get home and think he got robbed.
It's gonna leave you alone.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Bob's gonna call him up and try to. Bob's gonna call him and try to say, "Hey, thanks for the hospitality." And Toby's gonna, "Dude, you wouldn't believe this. I got robbed. All my food was gone. My beer." And Bob's gonna go, "Yeah, wow, that sucks. Wow, do you know who did it? Do you have any, like, you have one of those, like, ring cams or anything?"
Last time I came over here, I brought a friend over who's actually a good friend of Toby's, too. And we hung out and drank. And he ended up going in his refrigerator and taking a whole 12 back home with him. How did you guys fucking drink? I go, "Hey, he took it home with him. I don't know.
Thanks, Toby. See you later."
Say bear snuck in or something.
Yeah, right.
Drinking your beer,
Toby. I'm already telling you, I'm drinking your Red Stripes. I'll owe you a six pack.
Very nice. So, John, if your choice was no Kiss or fake Kiss, but with the full production, because they're gonna do it. They've already made that very clear for the last 10 years. They're gonna do it.
Yeah,
you're saying you wouldn't go?
No, not a chance.
But how long are those things going to last? Because you remember, do you remember Beatlemania? Were you around during?
I remember Beatlemania. I saw it.
That was early 80s. Yeah. And that was huge hype. And of course, Beatles were already dead for like 20 years or what? I mean, 10 years, But then in the 70s, so that started, what, 80? But that was a huge deal. But it was like a theater thing, and they were doing Pantages. And it was big, but it didn't last that long. Then you had, of course, other Beatle tribute bands. And, you know, I'm saying the Beatles because they were the biggest band, rock band around. So how many? And then, you know, you had Stones, tribute bands, Sticky Fingers, all that kind of stuff.
Dude, there are bands from that era that are doing that, though. Temptation. Yeah,
and they're doing good. I mean, you got Aerosmith that are doing really well. I know you guys talked about them with Frankie Wilson, who's a buddy of mine who plays the drum. But, you know, they'll do the Casinos, and they'll last for a while, and they'll do all that. But is the new Kiss without Gene Paul, and then are they going to be arena status, you think? Are people going to buy tickets to see a fake Kiss playing the Form?
Even if Vegas show.
Yeah, that's exactly my point, Bob. It's like it's a tribute band. It's a tribute band that you could – like I would – okay, if it was that Kiss, if it was fake Kiss, I would spend – 40 like 30 bucks, 40 bucks.
It's a casino thing.
Yeah.
It's like the Baker strip.
But here's why. Like I go see Queensryche now at our local place. It's like 2,500 people. Mm-hmm. And it's Queensryche, and it's the tickets are like 25, 30 bucks. Like, and that kicks ass. But at least there's Michael Wilton, there's Eddie Jackson, you know, and the songs like, but if it's just a straight goddamn tribute band, like don't be charging me no $120 a ticket. That's bullshit. There's no way I'm doing that.
What if they release music?
I don't care. And especially if they release music, that's bullshit.
Well, it can't be worse than what they've released the last couple.
Of years. Well, good point.
You know,
what if it was a really good album? Really good album.
No.
What if they hired Vinnie Vincent to write the record? And they hand deliver it to you.
Yeah.
No.
Ride it in on a dead dog.
No. It's like a James movie.
No.
Make a movie on that, sure.
Yeah. No.
Write it in.
Like, I'll give you the perfect example. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the biggest Van Halen honk you'll ever meet. You know that, Aiken. You know, you guys may not, Drew and Bob, but love Van Halen. And I've you know, there's a local band here in Cleveland called Panama. They're a great, great Van Halen tribute band, and I have no problems going and drinking my nuts off. And if there's a cover, I'll pay the cover. And then the Atomic Punks. Like, I have fucking sang with the Atomic Punks. Like, I paid covers to see them, like, 20 bucks, like, they're an actual band and shit. That's fine. But if you're going to tell me, like, oh, you know, the Atomic Punks are going on an arena tour and we're going to charge you Van Halen prices, I'm like, okay, I got to draw the line, dude. You're not Van Halen. Like,
okay, but Van Halen was just a performance band. They, you're completely not valuing the production.
I don't give a fuck about the production. I give a fuck about the music.
Here's what I'm saying. In Kiss lore, the production is part of the show. Kiss, I could see continuing with no original members and becoming like TSO. I could see that traveling every year like TSO.
That's a very good analogy.
With the huge production, those songs, you know, mixing in the, you know, the rare cuts that people want to hear and wanted to hear before.
That's still wouldn't pay for it.
Because TSO is a revolving band. No one actually knows the members all the time. No one knows them by name. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could see that, but that is, again, that's more based. That you have a theme there. That's based on the holidays around Christmas time and around and this and that. You make a good point about Van Halen. Okay, now that Eddie Van Halen's dead, could they come out with Van Halen? Would that, I mean, people would, that's the difference between Kiss fans. I mean, if Van Halen, if Alex and Wolfgang and Michael Anthony came out with Van Halen and said they got some shredding guitar by Paul Gilbert, whoever, Joe Satriani, would people buy into that?
No,
they would not.
Pantera is the other example, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and that's where you can't really, you know.
But again, I'm going to keep arguing the point back again. Those bands that you're naming didn't do anything more than stand on stage and play.
Although there, if I'm not mistaken, there is a Led Zeppelin tribute band that plays arenas. I think they call it, at least in the Midwest, I know that. They call it like,
oh, really?
Think,
Well, there was Led Zeppelin II.
Led Zeppelin II.
Led Zeppelin II.
Yeah.
Really?
They don't. I don't think they play a.
They were playing big clubs. They play like the Key Club. And
my opinion does not matter anymore.
Well, you said, well, look at Atomic Punks. They were fucking great. They were basically Steel Panther, at least the singer, Ralph.
Singer and guitar player,
Guitar player. Was Russ Parrish?
Ralph and Russ.
That's the band, basically. They're making more money doing Steel Panther, all original band, which is rare these days. And I mean, obviously, they did their covers. But they're making way more money doing Steel Panther. I mean, I don't even think Atomic Punks exist. They might do one show a year at a
convention. No. They actually do multiple shows a year. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But still, they're bread and butter.
I'm a nerd for it, though.
But Steel Panther is what pays their bills and what's them homes in fucking Bel Air.
Well, Ralph and Russ are not in Atomic Punks anymore. But, I mean, the reason that they're not is because, you know, the Steel Panther thing was they were metal school. And so that started to kind of take off, you know, at least that's my understanding. I mean, you would know better than I would, Bob, because that's right in your backyard. But, you know, they were in Atomic Punks, and then they did the whole metal shop or whatever thing. And then it, you know, kind of morphed into as that, you know, came up. So then they got a couple other guys to do the new, you know, David Lee Roth and Eddie Van Halen.
Oh, so they're not doing it anymore. Ralph isn't
not those two.
No.
I didn't even know that. I didn't even know they were still doing. OK.
No,
because they do the same act, just playing all kinds of covers.
Yeah.
You know, they do the same.
But my point is, those cover bands, even if Kiss did a whole thing with a show and whatever, it might be last a year or two, and then people go, this isn't the real Kiss.
I completely agree with Bob.
It might get smaller, but I don't think it would go away. I think it would have I mean, how many years has the fucking Temptations been going on? And there's no one left.
Okay, but here's the thing. But that goes against your point about the production.
Well, because that's what I'm saying.
Temptations are guys that just stand there, and the whole point of it is the vocal production and the horns and, like, you know, it's not about explosions and shit. And you just said, like, it might get smaller. How can you make Kiss smaller? You can't. Yeah. You can't just take what you're doing in an arena in front of 23,000 people with that. I mean, you need the room. If you put it into a 3,000, no one's going to buy into that crap. Then it's going to really look cheap.
Temptations aren't playing arenas. They're doing like
4,000
seaters with two other bands with like an Earth, Wind, and Fire and an Average White band and whatever. They're doing package deals. Yeah.
But again, they never had the big show. It's, you know, I don't know. I don't know that there is a right answer. I'm sure we're going to find out in 2020, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, because they're going to do it. They're absolutely going to do it. You know, there's already a plan in place. They've made it very clear that there's a plan in place. I'll bet the players are already in place.
You think Tommy Thayer and Eric Singer will be a part of it?
I do.
No fucking way.
I do.
Why do you say that?
Why do I
they
say
that? They know the songs. They got it down. They got the stage show down. They know they could kind of be the again, Tommy Thayer is supposedly the one that taught Ace how to replay all his stuff when Ace was gone for a while and all on, you know, whatnot. So they could be the musical directors of this new Kiss. And at least there, there'll be not some kind of legitimacy, according to
I say no because they're going to win. And this is all a hunch. I have no knowledge. I'm just guessing here. But they're not going to want to put names on these guys. They're not gonna want to say, well, this is Jeff Smith that's the new Gene Simmons, and this is Paul Watson who's the new Paul Stanley. They're gonna say, this is the Demon, this is the Star Child, this is the Cat. It's gonna be like the original Kiss, where you didn't know, you know. I mean, yeah, they had their names, but you didn't really know who they were because they were behind a mask. They're gonna do the same fucking repeat of just the characters. They're going to play the characters, and that way they could probably have Kiss. And again, I'm going back to the TSO model. They could have Kiss North and Kiss South, or Kiss East and Kiss West, or, you know, they could have several of them if they wanted to.
I got my money, Eddie Vincent.
Yeah.
Bring him back.
They'll grab two homeless guys, one in California and one in New York, and say, okay, you can be the Vinnie Vincent. You can be the Onk Man.
No, no, Chris, if they're getting Vinnie Vincent, it'd be two homeless women. Remember? are we sure? Like, what?
Tours.
Yeah, I think they'd have to keep Thayer and Singer because, you know, the fans will shit all over No Gene and No Paul, but Eric Singer and Tommy Thayer have been in the band long enough to where I think if you just say, okay, everyone's gone and it's just a bunch of scrubs, I think they have to have at least something to tie it back to legacy something. Members. Yeah, exactly, exactly.
What if they got a named bass player and another named guitar player to play Gene and Paul?
That would be amazing.
Like Vinnie Vincent?
That would be.
God damn it! How close are you to Vinnie Vincent? You keep.
I said named guitar player.
I am not just a gay guitar player. My bad. that's where it's at. Who is good? That's the criteria.
Whoever can sing the best will get the job as Paul.
Might be a reality TV show.
Say the word people.
Dude, that's Drew.
Drew, you say that jokingly? Wouldn't you surprise me at all?
A reality TV show.
Did have a reality TV show,
like The Voice or like X Factor or something like that, but with like eccentric
Rockstar Supernova,
like a Rockstar Super. That's what I was kind of thinking, doing something like that, like they did with.
Look where that went?
Yeah, but that was because that was Rockstar Supernova. It wasn't Kiss.
But reality TV. No, reality TV is geared towards like fucking late teens, early 20s.
That's what they'll be trying to get for this new
Kiss. But how are they going to get there with Kiss?
That would be something that they might do because Gene is such a.
They'll call
into the whole reality thing already.
I completely agree with you that that's an awesome idea and that they probably would do that. But do you think it would take off? Because I think the demographic is completely off.
Again, it would be a temporary thing. It would take, I think it'd go for a 2, maybe 3 year max. And people would go, I'm done with it. But then again, people's attention spans are like that anyway nowadays for any musical thing. So a new Kiss, not like it's going to be a legacy. I mean, if they're thinking this new Kiss with new guys are going to last over the next 20 years, bullshit. Things are going to change. Music's going to change. Technology is going to change. People aren't going to give a shit. Like I said, by then you could see that shit in your fucking bedroom.
Yeah.
You know, so people aren't going to want to see the big shows or whatever. And who knows how long this COVID thing is going to last anyway, or how long live shows are going to be, you know, non-existent. So, you know, people are going to have to think outside the box. And I don't think a whole, you know, a new brand of Kiss with a, you know, if it does happen, it'll be a temporary thing. Everyone's going to go and see it, just like the reunion shows. People are going to see it. Oh, Kiss is back. They haven't been back in, you know, 15 years. Got to go out and see them.
I went too. I'm not a fan.
That was the first time I'd seen Kiss was on that 95, 96 tour.
I saw that tour too. I saw two nights of that tour. And
how long did that last? You know, they did their run and then they, you know, went, you know, anyway.
It would take a whole lot of rebranding to try and, for one, gear it toward a younger audience, and for two, a lot of people to take it serious.
I completely agree, Drew.
I do not agree at all with your demographic argument.
Why?
Because the kind of reality TV you're talking about is fucking not reality TV has a huge old people base with fucking shows like the Dancing with the Stars and The Bachelor and all that shit. That's old people watching that shit. That's
I can prove it. If you go on YouTube right now, there are a ton of videos that are teenagers react to Motley Crue Wildside. That is because these kids, they have never heard of this shit. And you know, so if you try to market like on a mass scale Kiss to somebody, these kids are gonna go, well, what the fuck is this? It's like a bunch of like clowns or something. Like, you know? Rock,
most of the people our age or older, or Chris and I that would have kids in their teens or whatever, they would take their teens to the Kiss shows. If you go to a Kiss show or an Iron Maiden show, you go to an Iron Maiden show, there's more younger kids out in the audience than there are older.
I'll give you that.
I'm not just talking about people's sons or grandsons or whatever. And like young kids are getting into that stuff now. And I think a lot of younger generation guys have never seen a show like Kiss, and they're familiar with Kiss through reality TV, through the Family Jewels, and through all this other bullshit. On reality TV, look at that. Who would have thought fucking Motley Crue, that stupid shit movie, would have given them? I mean, when Motley Crue did their farewell tour, they were barely able to sell out the arenas, hyping it up as a farewell tour. And I mean, barely. Mm-hmm. And now they're playing fucking stadiums because they did a goddamn movie.
Yeah.
You know, that sucks shit. You know, but they're out there and, you know, or they were going to. Who knows if it's ever going to happen. But the point is, stuff like that, these TV shows will get the younger, and it will be all younger. You go see Motley Crue now, if they end up doing the Coliseum or these big shows, it will be mostly younger people going to see it that watch the movie or that are into the Tommy Lee's fucking whatever. Well, whatever. Who knows?
Yeah.
And all it really takes is the right channel and the right advertising. If fucking CBS sponsors the new Kiss Forever, the building of Kiss Forever.
Mm-hmm. And, well, that's what they're going to do. They're going to market it. They'll do a big reality. Yeah. If they're going to do this reunion, they're going to do a huge reality show to build it up, the production of the new stage.
Right. And they'll probably advertise it leading up to the Super Bowl, and they'll have like a three-song Super Bowl set where one song is old Kiss passing the torch to new Kiss.
And you know what would be the lock is if they have an advertisement for the Kiss coffee where the husband comes home and goes, God damn it, let me alone.
People. Helen.
Don't rush me. Addison commercial.
Addison.
Addison.
Helen. At home. Don't rush me.
Don't rush me. People. I want to drink my coffee.
Greatest commercial ever.
That's what they should do. That would put them back on the map.
I agree with Bob.
There you go.
Well, I'm telling you, it's good. Do you not think that could happen? That they could do the Super Bowl with the passing of the torch and all this stuff?
Not a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Super Bowl will never have that, but New Year's Eve, maybe? Well, I mean, New Year's Eve thing they would do.
Why do you think not the Super Bowl? The Super Bowl's
Super Bowl wouldn't do that. Super Bowl would have Mariah Carey or Lady Gaga or Pop. Yeah. They won't even do Metallica, dude. Metallica's the big. They won't have AC/DC.
Yep. Dude. When Van Halen was on their reunion tours, like when it was like huge, it was selling out everywhere. Like they didn't have Van Halen. I mean,
maybe it would be. And I know this is shit we don't care about, but somebody would care. It could be the induction ceremony to the Hall of Fame, or it could be the Grammys. I could see the Grammys.
But you got to figure at the same time, moving forward from here with the COVID thing, are these will these events ever even take place? The Super Bowl as we used to know it, the Grammys as we used to know it, you know, so it's like everything seems to be really up in the air with that.
It'll be a live stream event, Drew. They'll do it. Kiss will charge $50 for the live stream to see old Kiss pass the torch to new Kiss.
And Gene Simmons is going to pre-auction off his bass that he's going to use like he did for this live stream that he's about to do.
We used to be Kiss, and this is the new Kiss. Thank you for spending $150 for 15 minutes of your time.
and for only $50,000, you can have the actual torch that we passed.
Signed by Vinnie Vincent.
Sold. Right.
And if Vinnie doesn't deliver it, then he'll give you two of them.
And a dead dog.
Yeah.
So that's got to be the biggest embarrassment for Gene to like come have him featured on that. I don't even know what that was. It was some internet thing, and they're playing together. And,
oh yeah.
Oh man.
But that was Gene's fault. Why did Gene let him into his thing?
And Gene kept trying to get away. He's like, I gotta go. This is all you. He's like, no, stay, Gene. Yeah. Touch
Remember
me.
Remember how I can't play guitar anymore?
Gene, I can show you.
It was amazing that Gene you know, Gene, who's usually so controlling of everything.
Yeah.
It was amazing that he let this fucking guy that had not proved that he could do anything.
He had to be so pissed off after that.
Oh, yeah.
What does that say about Vinnie Vincent? How manipulative that guy apparently still can be.
Yeah.
I think Gene was trying to be real woke and trying to be, this is my old friend. And, you know, he's going through this phase and whatever. I'm going to, you know, help him, trying to be the nice guy and to show that, hey, I'm sensitive too. Yeah. Let me bring this guy back and we're going to do this little reunion thing. And it just backfired in
him. Oh, yeah. Almost immediately. You see him sitting down next to each other and Gene's like, all right, the people want to see you. I'm going to get going. He's like, no, Gene, please play songs with me. You love me still, right? Remember those nicknames we gave each other?
My guitar.
Well, especially after you see that video of Vinny shredding at that one show, you're like, oh God, what was that? Like, man, that's like, I could play that and I'm a fucking hack. I'm like, and you're Vinny Vincent. Like, you used to be a great songwriter and a great shredder. Like, what in Christ's name is happening here?
Like, oh yeah. And he's like pear-shaped now and he still puts on the makeup and everything. And
well, but his makeup now comes with a pantsuit and stuff and heels. So, you know.
Yeah, he looks like Grimace
from Hillary Clinton.
He should be at Max Sabbath at this point.
Oh my God!
He should be. There you go. He should be the cheeseburger.
That's hilarious! Holy shit! Nice.
The whole Kiss thing, I think, I mean, it's like, dude, just lay it to rest. I mean, they've made their money. They could still do all their entertainment, all their merchandise. I mean, the merchandise will sell forever, whether Kiss is around, performing or not. You know, I mean, look at the Ramones. How long has the Ramones been broken up? They're selling 10 times more in merchandise through young kids. Mm-hmm. Young kids. My niece came in with, you know, these Converse, you know, young niece, Converse shoes, and she's talking about the Ramones. It's like, well, you know, what how do you know? But that's, you know, how Kiss will, they can sell their merchandise for many, many years to come, whether they exist or not. It's like, just pack it up, you know?
It'll always be the hologram concert, like you were saying. Like, you know, you just watch Kiss from 1976 in your living room probably at some point.
You know? You never know what's,
It's like you said, though, like, you could have them in your living room. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, like, you know, maybe that's the technology itself. Like, maybe you could go back to concerts, but maybe that won't happen because the technology will reach a point where, you know, people are, you know, doing Kiss in your living room, or, you know, the live stream concerts that are all the rage now. Like, all of a sudden those are, you know, that's, they become such high quality. Like, you know, I have, you know, I've got a PlayStation 4 and I've got the VR headset. And maybe they'll do stuff in VR. So it's like, I could literally, you know, spend like
$40 a minute.
Yeah, well, I mean, seriously, I could put my VR headset on and I'm like at a show, like front row. Like,
maybe you can even do it in smaller rooms. You could do it in your bathroom. So while you're taking a shit, you can watch Paul Stanley.
People, take your shit right there.
He dropped a deuce.
He dropped a deuce.
Get up! Over here.
There you go. Hey, the possibilities are endless. Come on. We're giving Gene too many ideas here, man. We should take a cut of this shit. He's probably like watching the show going,
I like get a hold of Doc McGee. We're going to go in partnership with him to work on the new Kiss stuff.
Do you guys think that another band like a Metallica will do?
No. Well, they got too much integrity.
Not that. No. But selling the concert videos for home release. Because they already do sell them, and they do video record all of them and have pretty much forever. You know, do you see them as being like hologram Metallica at some point?
I think they could if it's Trujillo, Hammett, and Hetfield live, and then you get a hologram of a drummer that can actually fucking play.
Hey, don't be making fun of my movie mate Lars.
Dude, I'll pay. If Metallica would replace Lars, I would pay like up to $400 or $500 a ticket to see Metallica with a good fucking drummer.
I wouldn't.
I, I,
disgusting.
Well, for one, I think the whole video concerts don't sell anymore. Doing the whole video concerts onto DVD, they're not bad unless you get them on these TV shows. I mean, they're going straight to like Access or whatever. But No one's buying home DVDs. Not too many people, I think, are streaming unless it's a storyline or a documentary or something, a big story about it. No one's buying concert DVDs.
And they did that with Through the Never, that concert movie, Metallica.
And it bombed. It bombed.
Yeah.
They spent a ton of money on it. Yeah.
Bombed, but Bob, on that one, it bombed because it was horrible.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But again, I mean, probably the best part about it was the footage. Well, I say the effects and the filming was great on the thing, but it just didn't make any sense. It went into that, then they go into this concert, and then back. It was just dumb.
No flash, all sizzle, no steak.
Yeah. But if they were to do one or the other, maybe. But people don't want to see. I mean, people don't want to watch concert DVDs anymore. That's not a big sell or to make at least a big money maker.
I do.
Go ahead. He's going to bring up Dream Theater or something.
He buys them.
I could bring up Dream Theater because they just put one out. But yeah, anytime a band that I like puts out a live concert or if they do a live stream, I'm paying for it.
Straight to YouTube. You can watch it on. I mean, there's so much shit on YouTube and whatever now that no one's going to end up buying. Except John Drake, if it's Van Halen or Dream Theater. I mean, that's just the way it is. I know people aren't, buying concert DVDs. You might have a few of the hardcore fans and whatnot, but as far as a big money maker, it's not,
Dream Theater doing Van Halen anymore.
Live records in the 70s.
Don't tease me, Drew. Don't tease me.
It's shifting, though, because with COVID and the advent of the live stream, bands are selling live stream video.
Well, live stream is different. Live stream is cheap. There's no production cost in that. You do a live DVD, you have to mic everything perfect. You have the sound, you have to hire all these different people. You do a streaming, you do it in your fucking bedroom, and that will get the views, enough views to make, money or to get your name across or to keep your name relevant, whatever.
Right.
On these bands. That's a whole different thing. That's a very low budget thing.
Little Caesar just did that today via the Black Star Amps.
Who did? Little Caesar. Okay, yeah.
They played the whole first album and it was streamed all over the place. Brave Words had it going and Black Star Amps and all that. And so I remember I was like, holy shit, Little Caesar.
What was funny, I showed this to John when he was here getting his computer fixed last week. I chatted with Morgan Rose from Seven Dust.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A couple weeks ago. And I asked Morgan about their live stream, and he was blunt about it. He was just like, it fucking sucked.
The performance was amazing, right? We agreed. Show itself was amazing.
But he hated it because there's no energy from a crowd, from anything. And he even compared it. He said he compared it to when they were a local band and they just had no audience.
Well, that's kind of what John Bush said with the Armored Saint thing. Though I thought that worked out great, but it's a weird thing without an audience, especially with someone who has such a rapport with the crowd, like a John Bush or a Bruce Dickinson or one of these kind of front men. It's a weird thing when you got nobody there and you're trying to act like,
It's like a rehearsal.
Here's the John Bush thing. And I brought this up to Morgan. I'll bring it up to you and you can relay it to Mr. Bush.
All right.
Tell him never, ever, never again.
I could text him right now.
Go ahead. Tell him again. Never again to do a live stream with no people and tell a joke. People.
Oh, sorry.
He went and tried to tell a joke. He was trying to do his pizza joke for Can You Deliver?
Right.
But he did the setup, and I mean, even the band turned around and walked away from him. and I watched it, and I mean, the live stream, I'm sure you probably saw it, Bob. It was fucking killer.
Performance-wise, absolutely.
It was awesome.
But I agree. It was uncomfortable. You could tell they were uncomfortable, and they didn't.
Yeah.
That
pizza joke though, when he walked up, he said, "Yeah, and the pizza guy, I got him on the phone." And I said, can you deliver?
Yeah.
Anybody? People, anybody?
People. People. Where are you, people?
They needed one roadie to start clapping to make it just that little bit worse.
Well, that would have made it worse. I think if like one person.
Yeah.
Like an audience. Yeah.
Like make it more awkward.
Fucking golf clap.
Can you deliver?
It was awful. And I felt so bad for him because it, dude, if you watch it again, Joey Vera literally turns around and walks away. Like Joey was standing near him and he just kind of turned around.
I don't want to be a part of this. You're on your own, John. Sorry, dude.
It was funny, but it was good, yeah. Man. But
I think they probably thought it could work.
Yeah.
I was thinking, oh, maybe, you know, it's my,
yeah,
know.
People dig it at home, right? Yeah. Yeah. No. No.
You live and learn.
Yeah. But again, and you know what? That's a really good point, dude, because nobody knows how to do this, right?
Yeah.
Because nobody's done it.
Yeah.
You know, dude, we watched Doro and fucking laughed our asses off at her fucking running around in between cars at a drive-in theater. Yeah. Yeah, and people honking their horns and shit and flicking their lights, and we're like, what a bunch of douches. Now there's bunches of tours of that going on.
Yeah. What are you gonna do though? It's like, you know, like I paid for the Sammy Hagar stream for his birthday bash, and it was fucking phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I paid for the Seven Dust one. I hate to admit this out loud, but this is the first year I haven't had New Year's plans since I was like fucking 6 years old, so I may actually get whatever the cheapest Kiss thing is, just so I have something to do. Dream Theater's doing, like, this is no surprise, but Dream Theater's doing a stream on January 30th. It's like a show they did in Japan back in 2017. Like, I dig it. It's like, if I can't go to a show, at least give me something that is kind of live, you know?
Am I the only one surprised that every single major band is not doing something on New Year's Eve?
No. Because I think people aren't really buying into it as much as you would think they would. You're a perfect case in point. Like, you love live music. I mean, I think all of us, like Drew, Bob, back me up. Like, you guys, we all love live music, but it's like, you know, a lot of people think, okay, well, it's not quite live if I'm just sitting my fat ass on the couch, you know? Like me, I'm an idiot. Like, I'm gonna get drunk and I'm gonna turn my soundbar up to like 50 and jump around and sing an air guitar and fucking knock shit over. Like, but you guys aren't morons like I am, so you're gonna watch it normally and be like, okay, well, this isn't live, like, why am I paying for this, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I might be wrong there, but
no, you're right, you are an idiot.
Dream Theater, a band like Dream Theater would do really well streaming, for one, because they get all the musicians, we love them, and if they just go through their songs and play their songs and have close-ups of the band performing, yeah, musicians love that shit. I mean, there was a thing I watched, and no one else has seemed to have seen this before, but it was a thing, it was like on a public, a PBS channel, and it was Iron Maiden rehearsing. And this is way before streaming. This was like 10 years, at least 10 years ago I watched this. And it was when, what was the album with Passchendaele that came out?
Dance of Death.
That's what, yeah, because they played Passchendaele. They played a bunch of old songs, and they were all in their shorts and just regular T-shirts in a rehearsal, jamming and fucking around in between songs, talking, and they filmed this. I'm going, and I wanted to record this. I saw it once, and I never saw it again. And no, I've talked to people about it. I remember on the Maiden podcast I did years ago with Brian Slagle and Malcolm Dome, I would have thought they would have heard about it. They didn't even hear about
it.
It was like I was delusional. Wow. But I remember watching this going, wow, because they're showing, you know, Steve Harris close-up jamming, and they're showing their person, you know, fucking around with each other, joking and stuff. It's like, wow, this is fucking really cool.
And they shout up personally, like, Bob Nabanian.
Yeah,
this is my head.
People, there's Bob Nabanian. Yeah, come on.
But it was really cool. So, I mean, for a band like a Maiden or a Dream Theater, or, you know, where musicians would just, you know, oh, you know, and they just.
As long as James LaVrie fixes his mustache.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He does have that horrible mustache now.
I do.
What's with that, John Drake? Try to justify that one.
I have no idea. I chatted with him on Cameo the other day because I'm trying to like I'm trying to work with them. Like I'm doing a Dream Theater podcast soon that's gonna have like three viewers maybe. And I was like, oh, I'll do a fucking cameo, see if you could do an intro to the show. And I've been seeing those cameos, and I just like part of me wants to be like, dude, what are you doing? Like,
let me ask you something and be serious.
Okay.
If James Aprea, if he offered you a free mustache ride, would you take it? No. Be serious.
No. Ask me a serious question, Bob.
What if you threw in like a free stream, like a couple of, you know.
And you could stream it live. No. And you'd be famous with all the Dream Theater fans. No.
I've already met James. I've already talked to him privately. Like, I've done that kind of thing, man. I don't need
what, mustache rides?
No. You're again, Bob, you're just mad because I don't like La Raza. Okay. So this is
he would have for Eddie Van Halen, though.
Yes.
Yes. There you go.
Yes.
John would have publicly sucked
his even after he's dead.
No.
Like her name is Krista.
Would you eat?
My name is John Drake.
John. Here you go, John. Would you eat a spoonful of Eddie Van Halen's ashes?
No.
How about in the coffee? Would you put it in the coffee?
I don't drink coffee.
Would you?
What if it was Kiss coffee?
What if we mixed? That doesn't make it any better, Bob.
What if we mixed it into like some pizza dough or something?
No.
What if we fed it to you secretly?
Hey, to put Eddie Van Halen is inside me now. You could have a spirit, literally, inside. No. I don't want to get too morbid, especially talking about
it. I was going to say. I
know Chris is a sick fuck, but
well,
have to draw the line there.
Here's your option, John. Here's your option.
Sorry, Eddie.
You can eat a spoon of Eddie Van Halen's ashes, or you can go to jail for stealing his guitar pick from his stage show. And well, there's no in between. You can
I don't have to worry about that because I would take the guitar pick because I've already stolen his guitar pick off.
So now you have to go to jail.
That's fine.
You would rather go to jail than down one teaspoon of Eddie Van Halen's ashes.
Yes.
How long would he go to jail for? For a guitar pick?
A year.
Let him off.
A year.
Oh.
What if the ashes are flavored?
Yeah, what if they mix it with Rumpelmans?
What if they mix it with that Fun Dip? You remember that Fun Dip?
a bag of Van Halen.
Now that invites the question, what is the stick you're dipping into the ashes if it's
a dip? Guitar. It's a little guitar.
Or is it part of his tibby or something? Oh man.
We're getting toward the end of the show here. Oh.
I think we're done.
Are we gonna add that shape?
I think we're done. Are we done?
Oh, I don't know.
I think we're done. It's 10 minutes. I got 8 minutes of music or five or something. We're done.
We need some kind of restitution here.
But before we get too crass,
yeah.
I know this is typical for Chris Aiken, but
yes,
I don't want to rag on Eddie Van Halen too much or John Drake will be very upset.
I'm not ragging on Eddie. I respect.
I could take a beating, Bob. I get shit on constantly. Like
I don't have any ill will for Eddie Van Halen. I like it. I don't have any ill will for Eddie Van Halen. I mean, the one time that I quasi met him, he was nice. Mm. Yeah, right, John? I mean, John was there crying.
I bet he was.
You quasi met him, and I did meet him. So
I just feel odd about talking about eating his ashes.
Whatever. Well, yeah, I don't know, dude. Like, I can take a joke, but I mean, Eddie, like, fuck, dude, that's, you want to talk about the most 2020 thing ever is fucking Eddie Van Halen leaving. It's like, really, seriously, like,
yeah.
I'll never forget an interview that he always said, like, his mom lived to I think like 91 or 92. And he's like, and his dad died at 68. And he did this interview, and it's like, it was in Guitar World, I think. And he's like, well, I don't want to live to 91, 92, be crazy like my mom, but I also don't want to go early like my dad at 68. And then he croaks at 65, and you're like, what the fuck, man? Seriously?
It really is a fucking microcosm of an ultimately shitbag year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Halen died.
Yeah. And then all that news comes. Go ahead, sorry.
Did any of us think we would see that in our still youthful age. I didn't.
No, yeah.
I kind of knew.
I heard through the inside that he wasn't doing very well. And usually when their camp is super silent for a while, you know something's up. And I had heard through the grapevine and, you know, because everyone, you know, before it was like, oh, yeah, he's doing good. He's doing great. And then it was kind of like, he's really not doing too well.
And then when
you hear that, you're kind of like, okay.
Think about this. Of the Roth guitar players, Jason Becker outlived him.
Yeah.
Who in the fuck would have ever seen that coming?
Yeah. That's a miracle. I mean, that's Jason's unreal. Story is just that guy's awesome. I mean, people that talk about anything, any disease they have that, you know, they're going through and bitching about it. You just look at Jason Becker. When I interviewed that guy, he was as happy as could be joking. Man. You could see the smile on his face while he's talking. It's like that dude has it's the will to live, you know. Fuck everyone else that's out there complaining about petty bullshit.
I agree.
Look at this guy. It's like unbelievable, man.
I have to ask you, and this is really going to be kind of morbid curiosity and heavy on the morbid. How does that speech thing work? I watched a little yesterday on yesterday on your documentary, and it didn't look like he was doing all kinds of eye gyrations or nothing. It just, you were asking a question. That lady was like, and then he said that this is fine or whatever.
It's like one movement could be like where she knows in advance the letters. Like if he says like Yngwie and Y and Yngwie. You know, right when she says sees the Y in the end, she knows it's Yngwie before she knows him so well what he's going to say. I think that's what it is, because she'll say like the first two letters and then say the word, like, and then V.A. Varney did this, and you know, and so it's unbelievable how they work it. I saw the chart that they use for it, and it's, you know, pretty mind baffling that, you know. Yeah. They were able to do this, and really no one else has done this for anyone, you know, that is going through ALS or whatever. I mean, they did this all on their own, Jason and his father. It's really, really incredible what they've done.
Oh, have you guys seen that footage that they just put out like a few weeks ago? I think
With Eddie Van Halen. With
Eddie Van Halen, like it's like the because it had been released before, like that he had been with him, and there was pictures and stuff and small stories, but that footage is like holy shit! Like,
Eddie had passed. It's a tearjerker. It's hard to watch.
What was, and this is old school CMS, but I was given the opportunity to interview Jason Becker at one point. And we did it. You know, I sent questions and they sent them back. And then I used a one of these voice reader programs and recorded. I ran his answers through a recorder and then dubbed my questions in with it. And I thought it was pretty cool. And I mean, he had some long answers. You know, I was like, Jesus Christ, this guy must have had a fucking eye headache, like an eye migraine from giving me these long ass answers. And I mean, even just recorded back, it was like 15 minutes of conversation. And the worst part about it was when we did it, we played it on the show. Everybody thought we were just fucking making fun of Jason Becker and his ALS, because we had done 2 weeks before. I had gotten my hands on one of these canned interviews with Kiss, with Paul Stanley, and we had recorded all these dirty questions and had Paul answering them, you know, like, oh, do you like sucking hairy balls? I think so. You know,
people. I like sucking hairy balls.
it was this horrible thing that we had done. So then they thought that we were really fucking with Jason Becker. And I was like, no, we're not. We're not that heartless, you know.
Well, I remember you telling me about that. You had called me and you're like, dude, like we did this really cool interview. Like people think we're fucking with them.
Yeah. We got a lot of shit because people thought that we were just fucking making fun of Jason Becker.
Wasn't even the publicist upset?
Yeah, the publicist was because she didn't listen to it. Once she listened to it, she was fine. Yeah. But you know, she just got emails from people saying, these guys are fucking making fun of Jason and his disease. And we were like,
I thought that's where you're going with it when you're describing, you put it through the voice machine and all that. And I was like, oh man, what'd you do?
Yeah, well, and that was, well, because we didn't tell the publicist that we were doing that either. We just were like, you know, I think they thought we were just going
to publish. Well, what were you supposed to do? Just read back the answers? Read them back?
I guess that's what they thought we were going to do, or just put it on a website. Just question answer on a website. But
Jason still writes music too, doesn't he?
Yeah, oh yeah,
With his eyes, he's done.
I think the most recent one was last year. I think 2019 yeah, was
a new record. Yeah,
he did one with Marty Friedman. I think.
On a couple of tracks. A lot of people. I think Steve Vai is on a track. Tons of great people.
Something I love about Jason Becker as well. His positivity is incredible. Him and Joe Bonamassa were talking on Twitter or something like that, and Jason Becker was like, "Hey man, when I get better, I'd love to jam with you." You know, and it just the positivity.
Positivity,
behind
it. I saw that.
No doubt, man.
Yeah, the way that he actually can do that stuff, and you know, I mean, Bob, to your point, like, you know, so many people like suffering from this disease have passed early, like, you know, Eddie Van Halen, like, you know, left before him and stuff like that, and he is just still going, and it's, you know, basically the only thing that is basically left is his brain and his eyes, not to, you know, dumb it down or make it sound crass, but it's also his heart. Like, it's amazing, like, that he can still write music and have all these collaborations and conversations. Like, it's really fucking cool, man.
Dude, I remember seeing him at the Foundations Forum. What was it, 91, 92, maybe?
Literally enough.
Maybe 93. And that was when he first started. He was walking with a cane. Oh, and everyone was wondering, well, what's wrong with Jason? So that's how long ago it was, like 27 years.
And that's when he was with Roth, right?
When he was with Roth. Yeah. And, you know, and he's lived that long, which is he's lived the longest out of anyone with ALS, because the one guy that passed away recently, and Jason has now outlived him, I believe, with the disease.
And how old is Jason now? He's got to be 50, right?
Yeah, I think he just turned 50. Yeah, he did.
Good on him, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
just to be able to do, like, writing music with your eyes is one thing. Like, because if blink and do it, that's one thing. But to write the stuff that he's writing?
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Well, he's a genius. He was at 17. I mean,
seeing
him 16, 17 with a Perpetual Burn album and the first Cacophony record.
Those are the two records I was just going to mention. Yeah. Like, you know, Cacophony and Perpetual Burn. Like, and he's still doing that. It's like, and just by moving his eyes, I mean, that's just, God, like, how many players do you know that can't even touch the guy? Like, even his prime, now that he's in a wheelchair and can barely move, like, people still can't touch him. Like, I mean, that is absolutely fascinating. It's like, it's absolutely fascinating.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, let's quit here before we say something horrible and end badly.
People,
that's it for 2020. Thank fucking Christ.
Yeah,
no doubt.
We did it.
Yep.
2021 hopefully is going to be better. I would hope. We'll see. Who knows? We will be back, not next week, but the week after. We are actually taking a week off, although I would say watch your parlor minds and or gab, because Neely and I are probably going to go live at some point between now and when it goes.
CMS exclusive.
You know, yeah. Well, we were talking about doing it, and we want to do it, but we're definitely not going to do it with fucking Facebook. We're definitely not going to do it on any of the real socials.
Can I give something away, Chris?
Go ahead.
I have a little bit of a preview of next week's show. So I was sitting there overlooking the desert, and I had a vanilla latte, and I was wearing, you know, pajamas. And what was nice was the night before we had had a chocolate latte. Sorry, Neely, I got to bust your nuts. Yeah, I had to bust Neely's nuts a little bit.
That's what it'll be, too. Oh, you know, I got on the plane. It was
and Don and I were hanging out, and we were had our dinner, and I ate this, and he ate this, and we did this.
I got to tell you, it was so relaxing. It was so relaxing that It was just so relaxing. Like, all right.
Here's all I got to say. He's the one having his fucking Christmas and birthday with a rock star, and us four sitting around dicking around.
Busting his balls.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Who really won this argument?
Yeah. They're going,
yeah. And I bet you're Manny and Don are listening live right now going, those motherfuckers.
Nah, he won't care. He really won't care. But
we love you, Neely.
Yeah. All right, we're done.
No reasons to hate John Drake.
There it is.
Yeah, but you dealt me for 6 hours, Bob Nalbandian. So
I did. Yeah, I can't believe I was telling people, dude, I'm just going to do like 2 segments and I'm out. There's no way I'm going to do 6 full hours. But yeah. Hey, here I am.
It's easy.
I even wanted to bow out. I said, dude, if you, you know, once you get James on, if you want me to bow out, and then I'll stay on. So, yeah, I did.
Once you get
I was the only one drinking almost. You guys had a couple. I guess John had a couple. There you go. Yeah, he just pulls out an empty whiskey bottle. I didn't see it.
It's not empty. It will be empty in a second.
All right.
There you go.
Oh, shit.
All right. Well, Drew, Bob, John, thank you for filling the time.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Yeah. It was good meeting you, Drew.
You too, Bob. Yeah. And John. Yeah.
You too, Drew. You too, Drew.
And I got to say, before we end.
Yeah.
On that interview you did with Mitch LaFon and David Ellefson, and you and was Alan Niven a part of that?
Alan Niven, yep.
Mm-hmm. You said maybe 2 words through that whole goddamn thing.
I just let Dave talk. That's why I actually made signs, because we started doing a lot of interviews together, so I started making signs to hold up while Dave's talking. Like,
well, at least this one you were somewhat talkative, that you actually said more than 2 words.
Oh yeah, because I never want to talk over Dave, because he's a one hell of a storyteller. I got a good one here. Hold on, here we go.
Yeah. That's a lie. That's a lie.
Wow. All right, bonus time. Risk is not a great album.
Bonus hour.
Yeah. Risk is not great.
No,
stop it.
This is a great
story. As he's telling stories, I'd hold that up just as support.
Like, right, nice. When was this interview?
About a month ago, I think.
Okay, so can we address the fact that you still have all these pages from a month ago?
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
He was holding on to him for tonight.
Yeah, right. I'm going to save this I Am Batman thing just for the Classic Metal Show. It might come in handy.
There you go.
There you go. Every time you don't pre-order a new record, I love that. You weren't showing that in the camera, though, were you?
No, because then I was like, oh, because Dave's such a nice, wholesome dude. I'm like, no, I don't want to fucking shit up, you know?
That would have actually been, was he laughing through it?
Oh, no, I didn't even get to show him. So I was like, I'll save it for some other time. And then I just held on to him for this. I was like, maybe I'll use him at some point.
Yeah,
right.
Well, that would have gotten me to buy a book.
Well, I'll start with you, John, and I'll go around the horn here. John, give your plugs.
All right. So, pretty simple. Nerf Herder Council, my Star Wars podcast. Obviously, it's on nerfherdercouncil.com. We're now doing a live streaming video thing, so our YouTube, Facebook, and everything. I'm gonna get with Aiken to work out that anchor thing to put it pretty much fucking everywhere, and eventually, within probably I think the next week or two, I'm going to have, again, a Dream Theater podcast, which absolutely no one will pay attention to, but it's just a passion project of mine. One of my best friends hit me up and said, hey, you want to do a Dream Theater podcast? I said, yeah. So it's called Talking Into Infinity, and it's going to be, again, live streaming and stuff like that. So you can look that up and check it out if you're into Dream Theater. And it'll be in this format with, like, the StreamYard and everything. So, yeah, thanks, and check it out. If you're into Star Wars or Dream Theater, there I am, you know, nerd out with me. Thanks for checking out another Classic Metal Show episode.
We do an episode about James LaVrie's mustache.
There you go. Be more interesting. It'd be more interesting than any of the music.
Oh.
Not going to address that.
All right. Go ahead, Drew. What? Give your plugs.
Oh man. I don't know. Drew. You got to plug my stuff. Oh yeah, the book. I just did the book.
Oh, you got a book out. You got 2 books.
Free publicity.
Out.
You're the sober one, Drew. Come on, remember your shit and promote it.
Okay, Rockstar Hitman. Wrote it with David Ellefson. It's out right. Oh yeah, Chris got it. It's out right now. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, the Bang Tango movie, Dwellers. Her name is Krista. Lucid, this new band with me, Ellefson, Vin from Sponge. and My California Pantry. That's coming out next year. Zen from Mars with what's up?
I said the Lucid Band, really good.
Oh, thanks, man. Thank you.
Because I'm not supposed to have it.
Come up all show. Is there any music we can check out? Or
We're shopping it around right now. We did a whole album. It's pretty cool. I showed Chris a little bit of it. I'll send you guys some tracks too if you want to check it out. Then there's also Zen from Mars with Stephen Chereau from Kick Tracy, Chips Enough from Enough's Enough, Brent Ahrens from Flip, and Mike Heller from Fear Factory, and Kate Cannellina. And that album's been in like the mixing stages for like 5 years, but that'll be out next year also. Dwellers, found footage horror movie, Ellison Films. That's too much to plug. I feel like a douche. What else is there? I think that's good for me. Whoever wants to know more about me, this Drew Fortier, whatever, it's all good. But these guys, I want to see these guys shine though. It's like, John, Chris, and Bob, you guys are awesome. So I'm just here to support you guys.
Well, it was a pleasure being on a show with you, Drew. You Drew too. And John. John thinks I hate him too. I have nothing but love for this guy.
I know you don't hate me. It's just you were really upset that when I crapped on that one Armored Saint record. Like I heard,
but we never did a podcast on that. I just told Chris. I said he's crazy. That Armored Saint album is awesome. That's all I said.
Yeah, Aiken's comment was. Was Bob is not pleased with you about your comment about the record.
Hey, Bob, we're all going to jerk off on a cookie.
And, there you go. As long as you eat it. Watch that movie, though. You will be thrilled. I mean, you'll be surprised. You'll go, how the fuck did this hit on mainstream Amazon Prime? And Call Me Krista can't get it. I know you're on Amazon Prime too, but this was like a mainstream kind of movie.
I can't wait to see that. Let Sleeping Dogs Align. Bobcat Goldthwait wrote it. That just adds to the weirdness, like that.
Yeah. Very, just like you're like watching, going, what the fuck? What was he thinking? How could he write this thing? I mean,
the Cleveland Browns and those two fucked up movies. Like, what kind of a fucking Sunday do I have?
Robert, you got anything to plug?
Yeah, well, just the movie. As you said, The Bay Area Godfathers Part 1 is still available. It's on Amazon. You could get it on Vudu. I believe iTunes, Google Play. Part 2 will be out in March. It should be available hopefully the first week of March. We separated them for a while. It's been done for a while, but it's finally coming out in March, and it'll basically be the continuation of part one. It'll be a full-on movie, and it'll be on all those platforms as well. The Shockwave Skull Sessions podcast through the CMSPN.com. FuckViewPal.com.
People.
Check it out. People, check it out. The CMS Podcast Network obviously has. You could check out the Classic Metal Show, Aftershocks, and the Skull Sessions. And we got Talk to Me. That's right. And might even have some new podcasts coming up.
Yep, that's coming.
So, all good. And latest episode has everybody's buddy, Eric Braverman.
Yes.
which was a fun episode. And so that was really good. And we got James Beach on coming up next week, talking about the whole Seattle Northwest metal scene. So some fun stuff. So check it out. ShockwaveSkullSessions.com.
Cool. And I'm just going to quickly say Aftershocks TV. We got Morgan Rose this week. I don't remember who else, but somebody else. I really don't remember. We're already into February with our interviews. So I can't even remember who we've spoken to at this point. But I do know that Morgan Rose is one of them this week. I think Sanhedrin is the other one that we spoke to. And of course, CMS Podcast Network, FUPAL.com.
Handjobs.
Yeah, handjobs.
People.
If you're
cookie,
a lady.
Cookie.
Give me a handjob.
Over the cookie.
And don't be shocked if we end up taking over heavy metal television, but that's a whole nother thing.
Oh,
hey Chris, you got a beer? You got a beer there with you? Anything full?
Nope.
Never. All right.
No, we're done. Oh. All right, we're gonna rock it out. Thank you guys so much, and we're gonna play some Bang Tango to get out of here. It's the only hair band thing I'm gonna play all night long. We're gonna play from Pistol Whipped in the Bible Belt. We're gonna play Bring On the World.
Bring it on, people!
Yeah, people!
People.
All right. So until 2 weeks from now, it is me, Chris Aiken, and these fuckers. And we will see you.
Bye, kitty.
All right. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it? And you know what else is a lot of fun? The CMS Podcast Network. That's right. CMSPN.com is the address. Make sure you go over there. Make sure you watch the episodes there. You listen to the episodes there. And maybe you even just subscribe so it's delivered to your phone, to whatever podcasting software you use, but do it from cmspn.com. Once again, cmspn.com, cmspn.com, cmspn.com. We'll see you next time, fucks.